This
is Leeds Student Radio.
You are locked in to our news takeover here on Leeds Student Radio, and we will be here with you all day bringing you the latest news from Leeds and beyond. And coming up now, we have an interview with Survivors UK, an organisation that deals with sexual violence against men. Here's Keith to tell us some more.
I'm the Chief Executive of Survivors UK. It's a national organisation which deals exclusively with male survivors of rape or sexual abuse. And some 75% or so of our clients have actually been abused as children. So by definition, this has been bottled up, compartmentalised for a very long time. And I'm sure many of your listeners will understand that the biggest problem we face with male survivors is the failure to disclose. I mean, it's bad enough with women. They reckon something like only 80% of all women disclose that they've been sexually abused. But with men, we're talking about 90% who don't.
Wow.
And that's obviously we can't verify that figure by its very nature, but it's a scary prospect that there are so many people out there who've been abused, and we just can't reach them.
Mm-hmm.
We try to help people come to us. We have a website which is full of information. It lists other organisations that they can go to in other parts of the country, which we accredit. It also has a web chat facility, so people, and that's staffed 7 days a week. So people can just type in and engage in a conversation. Some do it one-off and some do it regularly.
Mm-hmm.
But we also provide online and telephone counselling. And, of course, in the Greater London area where we're based, we will provide one-to-one counselling and group work as well.
Mm-hmm. So I know you said that 75% of the people that you deal with have been abused as children, but kind of on the grander scheme of things, how common is male sexual assault in the UK?
Well, the frustration is we can't really tell. We can only get figures from the National Crime Survey as to how many people have reported that kind of abuse. There are pitiful few convictions for it because, again, with the reluctance to disclose also comes a terrible problem about people engaging with the criminal justice system and going through all the hurdles that presents, because one of the biggest inhibitions to people coming forward is the fear of disbelief, the fear that they'll be ridiculed. You know, if you're a 6 foot rugby player, you don't go to your rugby club on a Saturday and say, "I was raped on Tuesday night," because you're just fearful all your mates are going to laugh at you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still, unfortunately, in male-dominated societies, this is still a source of smutty, jokey activity, and that's one of the taboos
that we've
got to break down.
Mm-hmm. Are there kind of any patterns to incidents of male sexual assaults? I mean, like, is it done by partners, friends, or is it by complete strangers?
Again, it's as each individual survivor is an individual and needs separate therapy and separate treatment tailored to their particular individual needs. So, sadly, I'm afraid there can be really, I can't say there's any particular pattern. And one thing I can say is that I think in some parts of society, this is thought to be only applying to a particular section of society, the gay community in particular, or trans community. That is not true. What our figures show is that actually a majority of our clients, when we ask them about their sexuality, say they're heterosexual. So this is something that can happen to anybody. You can be walking your dog across the park at night and be subjected to this kind of abuse. Yes, often it happens at parties and events such as that, but not exclusively that. And this is one of the problems. It's trying to get the message across to the general public that this can happen to anybody and everybody needs to be wary about it. And also the health professionals and other people just don't think about this. You know, they may see somebody coming into a GP surgery exhibiting symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder or other symptoms, and they may think it's something entirely different. They won't even connect with the idea that it might be as a result of either more immediate or indeed historic sexual abuse. So we've just got to be alive to the fact. We've got to raise awareness that people think, well, you know, if somebody's depressed or if their personality is going through a change observably at work or if there's some other issue, just think that this might be the problem.
So kind of off the back of that, what would you say to people that say, no, male rape is impossible?
Well, I'm afraid it's not. And it is happening all the time. And the National Crime Survey figures show that, unfortunately, you have to treat the figures with caution. Mm-hmm. It shows there's been an increase, but what you can't say definitively is whether that's an increase in incidence or an increase in reporting.
Absolutely.
It would be nice to think that more people are reporting it, and it doesn't token the fact that it's happening more widely, but I fear that it's probably a bit of both.
Mm-hmm. So it's clear that kind of historic sexual abuse is one of the most prominent forms of violence against men. Because you've dealt with so many people that have experienced that, how does that affect the lives of the men once they get older?
Well, I'm speaking at a conference about recovery, and one of the first things I'm having to say is that actually for many people, recovery doesn't happen. You never get over this. It's a life-changing situation. It can lead to self-harm, ultimately, sadly, to even suicide. Mm-hmm. It can lead to reliance on drug and alcohol abuse. It changes personalities. And very often, this elephant in the room will be sitting in the back of your brain and will be sitting there, but it will take another catalyst to trigger it. So it may be the breakdown of a personal relationship or redundancy at work or something like that, which will suddenly bring this to the fore, and it becomes then intolerable, and people just cannot handle it anymore. That's why, you know, when we listen to our voicemail in the morning, sometimes we get people phoning us up in the middle of the night, because that's when they're most vulnerable, they're most concerned about the impact of this. It can lead to breakdown in relationships. Heterosexual men can question whether this has turned them into being homosexual. They can question whether they're ever likely to have another relationship of either sexes. They can question whether they're ever able to have children. I mean, this can have the most devastating long-term effect.
All right, Keith from Survivors UK, thank you for talking to Leeds Student Radio.
Thank you very much indeed.